Continuing on here on In Focus News Radio KMAN, I'm Brandon Peoples, and we're chatting today with our city officials, Manhattan City Manager Ron Fear and Mayor Wynn Butler. The Manhattan City Commission meets tonight, 7 p.m. in City Hall. It's the first of two legislative meetings here this month. They also have work sessions scheduled here on the opposite Tuesdays here of the month. And we're going through the agenda right now. The agenda has three items on it. We talked about the first one, and let's get into item B, and that has to do with the Manhattan Development Code, which has been kind of an ongoing project here over the last couple months. And tonight you guys will look at Articles 26-10, Definitions and Division, and also 26-8E, over discussing nonconformities and more. Let's talk about that.
Sure. This is one that I think there'll be quite a bit of discussion on. There has been in the past. Nonconforming uses is a subject that has come up a lot in the past, and whether you have. So basically, you have situations where maybe you're in a single-family neighborhood residential district, and you've got remnants of multiple family type units, whether they're duplexes or fourplexes or even a single family home that's been converted into multiple units. So some of those have been done in a appropriate way or a legal way, and they're called a legal nonconforming use, and they've gone through a process to get that approved. Others have just transformed over the years and weren't intended or to be allowed in those areas. And that's come up a lot where we did some downzoning around City Park. We did some upzoning to increase the density, which had folks that maybe didn't want to see that kind of density. And then you had some downzoning where you already had some, which automatically put some people into some nonconforming components. So it's an issue that deals with, you know, property rights, obviously, and how those properties are going to be developed. And so it's an important issue, and certainly we're trying to develop a process that we can address some of those issues as they come forward and not be a burdensome process or certainly, but it's something that is an important issue across the board regarding, you know, your property that you're investing a lot of money in, expecting it to be a certain way if you're in a certain zoning district, as opposed to other uses or expanded uses that you didn't necessarily envision in that zoning district. So look forward to that discussion. So this is a work session item, as you mentioned, Brandon. We're continuing to work on the development code through a series of work sessions with both the planning board and the city commission, as we got a couple of more to do, and then we'll look for some comments back from planning board members, as well as the community, the stakeholder groups. There are some that are more impacted from this than others, but certainly everybody has and encouraged to weigh in on some of the particulars before we start the formal adoption process. So one of the things we're trying to do is get that feedback. You know, are there some obvious adjustments that we want to consider based on the proposed language, as opposed to dealing with those at the public hearing when we're getting ready to adopt the code formally. We also are transitioning to a new software system called Encode, which is going to be very beneficial for folks to be able to utilize that system to better understand their property and those zoning districts and the definitions of what's in the code. And I think is we're combining our subdivision regulations and our zoning regulations into one document and modernizing them. And so we hope it'll be better for everybody, and certainly creates a inventory and a system that I think is people can find some of the answers to the definitions that they're looking for.
All right. Mayor Butler, do you have any comments on this issue?
Well, I think, you know, that new website that Ron talked about really, really lays out the code nicely. And it's got links, you know, the definitions are embedded and a lot easier to understand than what we currently have now. And it's going to be a task, you know. That's why it's very important to collect, you know, things that people don't like well in advance of the meeting we're going to adopt it. Because as Ron says, you know, that could drag into a massive meeting that lasts all night. If people are bringing up the little points that irritate them at the last minute, we need to collect that early and let the staff iron that out so we can get get it done quicker. And I think, you know, the small bites we're taking out of it has been working rather well.
All right. Well, that's going to be an interesting discussion here tonight. When you talk about a non-conforming site, I kind of have an idea in my head here, but when I lived in a different community up in Nebraska, we had a real issue of when a Dunkin' Donuts was going to be built in the city, and it was a lot of people around that area where it was going to be built didn't think it would conform to the historic nature of the neighborhood. And I'm kind of wondering if this would be kind of a similar approach here, is to avoid from having something like a retail shop in a neighborhood per se, or something of that nature. Is that kind of similar?
It would, generally the non-conforming uses aren't that succinct, you know, from a commercial versus a residential use. Most of it's more in the, if you're in a residential district, then, what are the number of units that are allowed in that district? You know, it gets kind of back to, you know, I picked and bought this house because I wanted to be in a single family home. It's an older home. My neighbors are similar in nature, and, you know, I shouldn't have to deal with somebody converting that large single family home into a five unit apartment complex.
Gotcha.
So those are more the zoning side of those nonconformities. You know, on the retail side or the commercial side, I guess I should say, you got a little more variability, but, you know, there are some commercial districts that clearly, if you had, let's just say professional offices types of businesses, and then you put in a drive-through restaurant into that's pretty much going to change the makeup and the nature of how that works. So, but yes, that's not necessarily a non-conforming use, because you'd have to rezone that. So, the nonconformities more so deal with, the nature of the improvement itself, you know, or that you expanded and added a big addition for another living unit, as an example, where one wasn't anticipated from the zoning standard, or you bought it that way originally and didn't know that it existed.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, thank you for clearing that up. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Let's move on. Item C here is a discussion with Randy DeWitt here tonight over the water and sewer master plan update. And this is another ongoing project here in the city.
It is. So we update those master plans for our utilities. It's important to look at what some of our future systems might be, whether it be additional pumping facilities and or storage facilities. And those are kind of be two of the highlights I know that they'll touch on, but also treatments at our plants. A lot of our treatments at our improvements at our plants are driven by state and federal regulations as far as meeting water quality standards, both from a water treatment and supply component, as well as a effluent that goes into the discharged into the river. So having a 20-year plan that's going to help us to phase those improvements out and prioritize those improvements is important. Looks at kind of what's our growth been for the community, and what are the things that we need to do to keep our system working properly, so that when people turn that faucet on, they have good supply of clean water. So those are big issues moving forward, and we'll get a report as to what some of the proposed findings are, some of the challenges in our systems, and some improvements that should be done, including maintaining that infrastructure. You know, what are some of the maintenance items that we need to tackle, and some of the things that we've been doing over the years, whether it's relining old sanitary sewer pipes. to extend their life, or needing to, some of the more bigger ones get into adequate capacity. So, you know, one of the things we're doing in Aggieville, for example, is replacing all of the substandard old water lines. So you have 4-inch lines. Well, you can only get half as much out of that as you can an 8-inch line when you're trying to put a big fire out or for fire protection. So not just from a water quality, but a water supply to be able to meet some of your fire flow needs is an important element too, especially in areas where you're increasing density.
You know, this is one of the most important issues that faces any city here is the sewer water and wastewater. But man, it's an expensive endeavor, Mayor Butler, as you well know. And having a plan going forward so you're not in over your head is going to be so important.
Yeah, I think that, you know, what maybe people in the city don't realize is how well the water department has done. When we had that one break and had a boil advisory, you know, I think everybody's antenna, you know, went up on that. But think about, you know, all the years where, you know, the water department's done excellent. One of the things, you know, I always liked about Manhattan, I've lived in different places, but, you know, you can drink the water right out of the sink, it tastes fine. It's some of the best quality anywhere. And we should be proud of that. And of course, we've got to put the money into the utilities to keep it that way. And hopefully, you know, people will continue on just not worried about water because it's something the city does quite well. And by, you know, adding to maintenance, maybe we won't have as many breaks. We had some real issue there earlier this year with, you know, 3 major breaks at the same time, which was tough. But that's going to be the product when you've got older, you know, older systems, and we've got to get those taken care of. And we also need to be sure that, you know, we collect, you know, fees that people pay for their, you know, stormwater, sewer, water, that it all stays in the utility fund so it'll finance it, and that we don't take that money and spend it somewhere else. It needs to stay on the water department.
Yep. All right. Well, that's the third item on the general agenda here tonight, which will be discussed probably quite at length here this evening. And the City Commission meets at 7 p.m. Let's pause. We'll take our final break here of In Focus, come back, take a look at some consent agenda items and much more here with Mayor Wynn Butler and City Manager Ron Fear on In Focus.